Okay, good morning, everybody. This year, sponsored as always by the Baumeisters and Omo Construction, as well as the breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilui Nishmas, Vega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. We're doing Moikat and Daf Chaf Daled, and the Gemara was almost at the end of the question about what to do about Avelus on Shabbos. Shabbos has the tension of being on the one hand not necessarily a zman of simcha, and so it wouldn't be like Yontif, which would mevatel avelus. On the other hand, Shabbos is still Shabbos, and as Tosfos on the previous Amud points out from the Yerushalmi, the pasuk bracha implies that it's not supposed to be a day of avelus, and so you have the tension. So that's why the question that they're asking here is about whether there's avelus on Shabbos, and the way at least Tosfos on the top line of Chof Gimel Amud Beis said the question is about Dvarim Shabbatzina. So we're mechalik between public expressions of avelus on Shabbos and private expressions of avelus on the Shabbos, and the question is even with respect to the private avelus on Shabbos, whether we have to observe even any of those. And so here's what our Gemara continues and concludes with on Chof Daled Amud Aleph, top line, Bo Aminei Rabbi Yochanan. May Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, asked Shmuel. They were contemporaries. They were acquaintances, really. So he asked Shmuel, "What do you hold? Yesh Avelus b'Shabbes, how ain't Avelus b'Shabbes?" Amar Lei, Shmuel says back to him, "Ain't Avelus b'Shabbes." So that's his policy. Shmuel's policy, "Ain't Avelus b'Shabbes." Tosfos points out, we're going to discover Rabbi Yochanan did not agree. Okay, so at this point, it looks like we're going to get to the conclusion of that Gemara actually on the bottom of the Amud. All right, let's see. This whole daf is like a miscellaneous collection of things regarding Avelus. So here we go. In the third line, Yasi Rabbanan Kami the Rav Papa. In a later generation, it says the Talmidim were sitting there with the Rav Papa. They call Amri Mishmei the Shmuel, and they were quoting Shmuel. Having said, Avel Shashimish Mitaso Bimeyev Lo Chayev Misa. And Avel during Shiva, who in violation of the Avelus engages in Tashmish HaMita, Chayev Misa. Now it's not necessarily referring to Shabbos. It doesn't seem to be anyway. It doesn't say that it's referring to Shabbos. But presumably, what would Shmuel have said about that? Because Shmuel tells him that ain't avelus b'Shabbes. That was Shmuel's policy, so maybe there should not have been any restrictions on Shabbos. So it's only in weekdays, maybe. So it looks like so that's what he says, and it kind of an extreme onesh for the violation of Shiva of Tashmish HaMita is chayiv misa. Amalei Rav Papa. Rav Papa said to the guy, to the people quoting this, "Oh come on, he didn't say that. Asur itmar. He didn't say chayiv misa. He just said it's not allowed." Umishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Itmar, and it wasn't his own opinion. This was, after all, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. And okay, even though there's nothing chiddush there, because we already knew this from a brisa earlier, that's one of the restrictions of Avelus is Tashmish HaMita. So nothing was added.
How do you say, like, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan asked Shmuel, no?
Because Rabbi Yochanan was asking Shmuel what to do about Shabbos. This does not seem to be about
Oh,
Shabbos.
it's
This
just
just seems to
trying
be a
to.
general rule of Tashmish Shmita. What really you're saying is, what did he add? What is he saying? Why do you have to quote this in name of Rabbi Yochanan? What was so what needed to be asserted by Rabbi Yochanan here? If after all nobody was questioning the prohibition against Tashmish Shmita during Shiva. That's where Rabbi Kiva Eger had the question on the bottom. Okay, different people give different suggestions how to answer what's going on. Okay, well, in any case, v'ishmiyalechu. Now, Rav Papa goes on to say, look, but on the other hand, if you're convinced that you have a mesorah from Shmuel, mishmei de Shmuel, hachi shmiyalechu. So here's what you must have heard. This is Rav Papa saying what. If you heard a Mesorah from Shmuel saying something about Chayiv Misa for Avelus, then it'll be as follows. Hachi Shmuelahu, this is what you must have heard. Amar Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi Amar Shmuel. Rav Tachlima bar Avimi quotes Shmuel saying, Avel shelo para velo pirem Chayiv Misa. If the Avel does not comport himself in accordance with the Avelus rules and fails to do Priya Uprima, Chayiv Misa. What are those things? So those things are, Para is to have your hair grow long, and Pireim is to have your clothes disheveled, rumpled, or torn. So what it's saying is that presumably the Avel has to let his beard grow out, and his hair grow long, and have torn clothes, and we know that that's the way, that's the appearance of the Avel. It says if you're not going to do that, that's Chayiv Misa. Shenemar, like it says a pasuk, Rasheichem al tifro, v'gdeichem lo sifromu, like it says in a pasuk, that the at the time of Nadav and Avihu's death, the Aaron and Elazar and Itamar were told not to observe the Avelus yet. So the expression is Rasheichem al tifro, v'gdeichem lo sifromu, v'lo samusu. No, the opposite. They were told, you guys can't observe any mourning, public mourning. You guys have to appear clean and neat and groomed. And the point is, velosa musu. So you don't incur misa b'dei shemayim, because when you do avodah b'dei samigdash, you have to. That's the way you have to be. And our Gemara is quoting here from a Shmuel, a kind of a stretch of an interpretation. But there are other people whose misa would apply in cases where they didn't do priya prima, meaning regular avela. So acher shelo par velo pirim chayiv misa. This misa is not that we based in puts you to death. It's misa b'dei shemayim. Tosfos points out, don't get all excited over here. This is an asmachta because the whole avela's restriction anyway is rabbanan. So this is a remez. Okay, so what he's saying is that you have to respect the rules of Tisporas and Korea. Okay. In any case, also, nothing particularly novel here. I'm a Raphram Bar Papa. Okay, a new story. Raphram Bar Papa, one of the people that we quote in the Siyum passages. Tana Avil Rabasi. There's a brisa that it says in the Avil Rabasi. Rashi here says that's what we call Maseches Smachos. Avil Asur L'Shamash Mitaso B'Mei Avlo. Okay, we know that already. That the Avil is not allowed Tashmish Amita B'Mei Avelos. U'Masa Be'echad Shashimash Mitaso B'Mei Avlo. V'Shamtu Chazirim Eskevi Aso. And once upon a time, somebody knew that there was an individual who violated the Shiva rules and engaged in Tashmish Amita during the Avelus, v'shamtu chazir meskeviyaso, and he was subject to an unusual death, that he was trampled on by chazirim. That's what it looks like. Rashi says, well, maybe that's not really what it means. Maybe a slightly different thing. In any case, the point is that you have to try to follow the Avelus rules, and Tashmish Amita is usher. A lot of the Achronim wonder what's going on over here. Why is this whole piece raised over here if it has nothing to do with Shabbos necessarily? Maybe it does have to do with Shabbos. Okay, but in any case, it looks like it doesn't. Okay, now we're back to Shabbos. Amar Shmuel. Now Shmuel says the following about Avelus that falls on Shabbos. He says, you remember that we split the practice of Avelus. There's Avelus before Hesia, you can't observe public expressions of Avelus on Shabbos. And private expression of Avelus, that's questionable, whether you're supposed to keep them or not. So Shmuel rules that Pachas Chova, but Natar is Rishus. So these three things, Pechas Zayin, that's Chova, you're required to do something. And these three things, Nun Taf Reish, you're not. So let's take a look what it says. The three things are that are chova are priyas harosh, chazaras kareli achorav, and zekifas amita. Those are chova. What are they referring to? Priyas harosh. Rashi says this priyas harosh is not the priyas harosh from two lines above, even though it's the same words. This priyas harosh is referring to removing your hood from your head, your atifa. Removing your atifa from your head, which you're supposed to be doing during all of Avelus. We don't have that practice nowadays. Uh, in We Ashkenazim don't have that practice. But back then, when the Avel, as part of the Avelus appearance, would be to be wearing a hood or an atifa, you have to take that off for Shabbos. So that's the first one. Priyas Arosh, that's the first chova for Shabbos. The second is Chazaras Kerali Achorav. You can't wear your visible torn baguette and either change it or at least move it, turn it around to wear it so it's concealed. And Zekifas Amita, and keeping returning the bed to its regular upright position, also a practice that used to be standard in Avelus that we don't have, is turning the bed upside down. So in this one, they say you can't leave it like that for Shabbos. Those are chova. The Mefarshim point out that apparently it was much more visible. It wasn't like the bed in the bedroom. It was the bed like, I don't know, that was in some public place. Not really public, but at least to some common space in the house.
One-room houses.
Something like that, yeah, in the studio. So if that's the situation, so those apparently are too public as expressions of Avelus, and you wouldn't be allowed to. You have to reverse those things for Shabbos. But the following three things, Rishus, namely what? Ne'ilas HaSandal, wearing the leather shoes, Tashmish Amita, and Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chamin Arvis. So those things, washing up for Shabbos, and this is referring to on Shabbos, on Friday night, to at least wash your hands and face and feet in hot water that was, they point out, as long as it didn't involve any Chil Shabbos or anything, then washing up L'Chvod Shabbos, so that's required. No, that's a Rishus. That's a Rishus, just like Tashmish Shemitah would presumably be a Rishus. And the shoes would be rishus. Now, what are the implications of rishus? The word rishus sounds like it's optional. You get some discretion. You can choose whether you want to or want not to observe the Avelus. But some of the poskim point out that, no, it just means that Shabbos doesn't require those things. And once Shabbos is not requiring those to be reversed, then you're required to keep those things even on Shabbos. It's a bit of a question how to read this this line here in the Gemara. Okay, in any case, another Gemara says, and some point out, incidentally, you see from the way it's described over here, is that you don't get a Friday afternoon to prepare for Shabbos. The expectation is that, like, right at Shabbos is when the Shabbos rules would kick in, and so washing up for Shabbos just looks like washing up on Friday night. So, okay, that's a little bit, we do give you some extra time before Shabbos starts, but it's not a lot. All right, in any case, that is what Shmuel said. Now, remember, Shmuel is the one who holds that is there or isn't there Avelus on Shabbos? And on top of the page, it says Shmuel told him, ain't Avelus b'Shabbos. There's no Avelus b'Shabbos. So, presumably, that's what he means, is that there's no Avelus on Shabbos. So over here we're being told that Shmuel is saying, well, there's a rishus of Avelus b'Shabbos, a rishus of Avelus b'Shabbos, which is what's complicated here, meaning the private things that are kept private. It says those are rishuses. Rishuses means that it doesn't necessarily require, for the sake of Shabbos observance, that you not observe Avelus. Presumably you could have reserved Avelus, but on the top of the page it says there's no requirement for Avelus b'Shabbos. So there's a little bit of a contradiction here, or tension about what was really intended up on the top of the page and over here in the Rishus, on the bottom, unless the Rishus really means the Rishus. Okay. In any case, and Rav argues, and he says, no, Priyas HaRosh is also Rishus. Priyas HaRosh is Rishus means I don't mind if you leave your hood on. You're not required to take your hood off for Shabbos. That's what Rav said. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, let's ask Shmuel about that. Shmuel, maishna ne'ilas hasandal de Rishus. So let's ask Shmuel. You seem to be inconsistent, Shmuel. Why do you allow him to keep his shoes off? In other words, why do you allow him to not have why do you not insist on him wearing leather shoes in deference to Shabbos, but you insist that he take his hood off in deference to Shabbos. Isn't that inconsistent? It says, well, he says, why? Because the lav kuli alma avidi the same misanayu. So we know why you're not going to insist on putting on shoes, because not everybody walks around in leather shoes on Shabbos. So it's not visible, it's not overt, it's not a blatant disregard of Shabbos to walk around in something that's not shoes. I don't know, what were they imagining? Socks? Sneakers? I mean, what exactly? No, but whatever it is, the point is that the reality is that not wearing leather shoes was not an overt disregard of Shabbos. So then the challenge is, well then, Priyasa Rosh Nami. Not everybody has their head uncovered on Shabbos. Some people walk around with like their heads wrapped, turbans or something. So the Gemara says, so that's the inconsistency that they're asking Shmuel. So Shmuel, the Gemara says, no, you don't understand. Shmuel holds that atifa has to be a very elaborate atifa. Shmuel l'tameh, the Amar Shmuel. No, Shmuel holds that all week long the requirement of atifa is not really the normal way people walk around. What does he say? He says the following two rules. The first one, not really pertinent to us, but the second one is. So the Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says the following two rules. Kol kerash eino b'shas chimum eino kera. This is a little bit tangential. Any kriya that a person does of an avelus has to happen at the time of chimum, which means it has to be at a specific time when you're emotionally hot time. It can't just be at any time during Shiva or Shloshim or whatever. It has to be at a shas chimum. What are the shas chimum? So it says, Rashi tells you the one of them, which is at the time when you first are aware of the death. That's shas chimum. And the minhag is that they don't really do it that way. The minhag is not to tear right away at the time that you either hear or are present at the death. But because there are all these halachos of kriya, so we figure it's probably smarter to have rabbinical guidance at the time of the kriya, and you can't assure that at the first moment. So instead, they say, hold off until the funeral. At the funeral, when there will be guidance there, and it's at the time of hespedim, so that's considered to be another shas chimum. When you're going to be doing hespedim at the funeral, so that's when they encourage chimum, and the third one would be at the burial. So it says over here that those are specific times of chimum. We're going to discuss that a little bit more later. So if you don't do a kriya at a shas chimum, that doesn't count. And then he has the following other policy. Shmuel says, the chol atifa she'ena ke'atifa es yish me'elim eina atifa. And any atifa that you do that doesn't have a, like the Arab atifa, that doesn't count as doing atifa. In other words, it's not just like putting your talus over your head, kind of an atifa. It has to be more than that. Machvi Rav Nachman ad govi didikna. Rav Nachman demonstrated what kind of atifa that is. It says that's ad govi didikna. That's where the atifa covers your mouth. Dikna is your beard. So govi didikna is like the area right under your mouth. So the question over here is just, what is that a depiction of? You take the top of the beged and you drape it all the way over your head, all the way down your eyes, your nose, and your mouth, and that's the way you are. You're absolutely covered by a hood. That's what most of the Sfarim write. They describe that picture of atifa. You actually have a hood on that's covering your whole face, and you can't really see anything. Here and there you find a different thing, and that's actually why a lot of people put on their talus this way. It's because you're doing atifas yishma'elim for the talus. So you take the talus and take it over your face, all the way you cover your face, then you swing the other part of the tzitzis back. Because of this description of atifa. Others have a different understanding, which is, this is not referring to the top part of the beged, it's referring to the bottom part, which you fling around, that you should be flinging around the bottom over your mouth like that. The top part is going to go down to your eyes, because you're like Yishma'ilim. I mean, Yishma'ilim have to function, so we know the picture, we know the image. And so that's the point. The point is that that's not how, I guess, we Jews would walk around in public that way. And therefore, if you're going to have that on for Shabbos, that'll be very visible as an expression of a velus. So because he holds that way, that's why Shmuel himself insists that you undo that for Shabbos. But the shoe is not so obvious because people walk around and all the time without leather shoes, even on Shabbos. Okay, new thing. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yaakov said that Rabbi Yochanan said that the insistence to undo your hood, Loshanu Ella, that's only applicable kishein lo min alayim beraglav. That's only if you're not wearing leather shoes. Aval yeshal min alayim beraglav. But if you are wearing your leather shoes, that by itself shows min alav mochichem alav. Your leather shoes demonstrate that you're aware of the Shabbos, Kedushas HaShabbos, and that you're not trying to demonstrate Avelus on Shabbos. And then therefore, the other expression of Atifa does not seem to carry that same connotation of being a disrespect for Shabbos. That's what he says. All right, in any case, so that's the end of this whole issue about this all starting from what Shmuel said about how to observe Avelus on Shabbos, that public expressions of Avelus not allowed, and what are public expressions of Avelus? Things like you can't have a hood, your bed. Okay, well, we don't do either of those two things, so that's not really it. And the other thing would be kriya. You can't wear the beged karua visibly on Shabbos. So that's what we know. That's what we hold. And the Shulchan Aruch, when they talk about these, they leave a certain amount of individual subjectivity to what kinds of expressions of avelus that any given individual would be doing that might be a public manifestation of avelus in order to not do those things if it falls out on Shabbos. Things that are very overt, things that are very obvious that you wouldn't do them if not for avelus and you're doing them on Shabbos. Okay, it's subjective. I don't know, walking around in sneakers on Shabbos, I think everybody would concede that would be an overt expression of avelus. Because that's not how we are on Shabbos. We wouldn't behave that way. The question that everybody wonders about, what about the Dvar Mitzvah? So that we're going to keep going on that. That eventually comes back up toward the end of the Amud over here. So let's take a look. Tangentially, we had mentioned earlier that Shmuel made the comment about Kriya B'Shas Chimam. So let's see. Kol Kara She'ena B'Shas Chimam Eino Kara. The Gemara asks, wait a second. The Ha'amru Le'ei L'Shmuel. But once we have the following anecdote. It says once they mentioned to Shmuel, and this is the same Shmuel himself that made that comment about Kriya, that Kriya has to be B'Shas Chimam, they told Shmuel, Nach Nafshe D'Rav. Nach Nafshe D'Rav. Did you hear? Rav died. Rav and Shmuel were at it all the time. Rav and Shmuel had many machlokos, and then occasionally they agreed on certain things against Rabbi Yochanan and against others. So anyway, Rav and Shmuel were disputing. So it says, Kara alei treis armane. And he tore 12 begadim over that news. So it doesn't seem to be much of a kasha if he tore them one after the other. The point is that this must have been the kind of thing that over time he had accumulated even 12 torn begadim as a result of that. Amar, and he declared, Azal Gavra de Hava Mistafinamine. The man that I was afraid of is gone. I was afraid of him, meaning that he would he's a worthy opponent. He was a guy that knew that he would keep me honest. That's the way they talk about it. He would attack me with kashas to force me to rethink my position. So Amar Lei, the Rebbe, and then in a related and similar story, Amar Lei, Amru Lei, the Rebbe Yochanan, Nach Nafshei, the Rebbe Chanina. A related event, when they mentioned to Rebbe Yochanan that Rebbe Chanina had just died, Kara alei telei sir, it's delay milsa. He tore 13 begadim of silk. Amar, same thing. Azal gavra dehava mistafina mine. The guy that I was afraid of is gone. Anyway, so you're supposed to get out of these two stories, and particularly the one from Shmuel, that apparently the tearing, the kriya, is still meaningful even when it's not b'shas chimam. The Gemara says, well, Shani Rabbanan. Well, yeah, except if we're talking about the Rabbanim, or in other words, the Talmidim, about their Rebbeim, that's different. Kevin de kol shata midkari shematayu kishas chimam dami. Because they're frequently quoting things in the name of that person, and that person is now dead, so then that, it's almost like it's hespedim. It's like another hesped. So so that's considered to be ashas chimam even later, and then tearing and grief at that later time is still meaningful. But normally it wouldn't be. So that at least also means, all right. Tosus has here a problem with the other Gemaras that talk about how if they're in the middle of Shiva, the Avil needs to change clothes. He's supposed to tear his clothes, but that's not Shas Chimum. Okay, then Ike Amarle, Ravin Bar Rava Le Rava. Okay, Ravin Bar Ada said to Rava the following statement: Talmidecha Rav Amram, your Talmud Rav Amram. This is what Ravin is telling Rava: your Talmud Rav Amram, Tanya. He taught the following b'raisa. He quoted this b'raisa. Avel kol shiva kora lefanav. During the whole week of Avelus, the Avel has to have his kriya visible. In ba'al ha'achlif, machlif v'koreya. If he wants to change clothes, he has to tear. B'Shabbos, kora oliachorav. In ba'al ha'achlif, machlif v'ena koreya. On Shabbos, though, he's not allowed to wear visible kriya, so he has to either turn it around backwards or change clothes. If he comes to change clothes, then fine. Don't tear that and wear different clothes.
Is that only because he only has one shirt? Is that the idea? On Shabbos?
It might be. The way the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, they reverse the order of the preference here. They say either change clothes or if you can't, so then at least turn the beged around. So the point of this being, again, that the Kriya was not B'Shas Chimam. And we're still insisting on it. The Gemara answers, well, you have to understand, that's different. That, Ki Tanya Hahi B'Kavod Aviva Imo. That this is talking about when it's a parent. And remember that the rules of Kriya for a parent, we saw that a couple of dafim ago, that the rules of Kriya for a parent are a little different. And one of the differences is that you have to always have a beged karua on. So even though it's true that tearing kriya during Shiva, just at some random time, is not necessarily going to be meaningful for the kiya mitzvahs kriya, but as far as the rule of demonstrating kavod avi'imo, to have a beged karua on, that's what's satisfied here. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, so you mean that's a different type of a kera? That kera is more of a kera for show rather than an actual expression of the grief that you tear in grief. So what are the rules of repairing that kera? Can the kera that you make only during Shiva just in order to have a bigot karua on, is that reparable? Misachim o ein misachim. Can you restitch those? That happens in machlokas amarayim pligi ba avua de Rav Oshia and Bar Kapara. We're told that with respect to that matter, these two amarayim, Rav Oshia's father and Bar Kapara, had a machlokas chad amarayim misachim and chad amarayim misachim. One of them says you can't repair them, and one says you can. Regular kara, you would not be allowed to. The question is, this one might be different. So. And now the Gemara just says, you know, I think we could figure out which one was the one who aligns with which opinion. Tistayim deravua derav Oshia diamar ein misachim. We think we could figure out that it must be that Rav Oshia's father is the one who says you cannot repair that tear. Diamar Rav Oshia ein misachim. Because we happen to know that Rav Oshia personally holds ein misachim. You can't restitch that tear. You can't repair that beged. And therefore, presumably, he got it from his dad. So that's the way the Gemara is saying. So presumably, we figured out how to align it. The Gemara says, not so fast. Miman, how do you, miman shmi elei lab miavua? The Gemara says, well, where did he get that from? Must it be from his dad? The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. You know, his Rebbe was the other one, Bar Kapara. The Gemara says, lo, mi Bar Kapara rab dei shmi elei. A very interesting, a cute little thing here about, are you likely to get your Shitos from your parent or from your Rebbe? Okay. Amar Rava. We're about at the end of the discussion here about Shabbos. Amar Rava, Avel mitayel biyunkali b'soch beiso. Rava says that the Avel, around his own house, he walks around with his unkali in his house. Unkali. Rashi tells you something or other about the unkali, and it seems like it is the beged karua, the torn beged. Okay, it could be also socks, these kind of things, even on Shabbos. So now, Abaye Ashkefela Rav Yosef. All right, what was the point of saying that Rava reports that an Avel can be Matayal B'Yunkel B'Yosef B'Yisa, the Kera? I don't know, it sounds like you have to observe Avelus on Shabbos. That's what he said. Because that's not called Parhesia, that's Tzina. Abaye Ashkefela Rav Yosef. Abaye encounters Rav Yosef. He was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and he sees that during Avelus. Paris Le Sudra Areshe was wearing the Atifa, he was wearing the turban. The Yazel the Yasti Bebese is walking around the house, even on Shabbos. Amar Le Lav Sover Le Marein Avelus B'Shabbos. Don't you hold that there's no rule, there's no Avelus expressions on Shabbos, even B'Tzina? Amar Le, so he says to him, wrong. Hachi Amar Reb Yochanan. Devarim She B'Tzina No Heg. No, Reb Yochanan Paskins, and this seems to be the bottom line of the whole sugya. Dvar Meshav Betzina Noheg. Private expressions of Avelus are mandatory during Shabbos of Avelus. And therefore, because I'm in my house walking around, I have to wear my turban inside the house. And that actually is the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. Dvar Meshav Betzina are Noheg. Okay, let's move on. Two dots. This goes back to that Mishnah all the way back on where is this Yutess, I think, about the rules of Chag. It's in Yonah Diyoma, very in Yonah Diyoma as it happens. Let's see what it says over here. The Mishnah had a question about what the status of Shavuos is. What was the question? Well, okay, whatever the question was, the Shavuos la'achar ha'churban, there's not really a lot going on. And so maybe there's no real simcha on Shavuos, and that's why they had two opinions in the Mishnah about Shavuos. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gidol bar Manasseh Amar Shmuel. Rav Gidol bar Manasseh quotes from Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabban Gamliel, that there's no Avelus on Shavuos, that Shavuos is like a regel, like a chag. Lakula. Okay. The Yikka de Masni Laha the Rav Gidol bar Manasseh aha. However, others have that tradition about Rav Gidol bar Manasseh quoting an earlier Amora, paskining Ashita Lakula as follows, having nothing to do with it at all. Nothing to do with Shavuos and about aborting a Velus during a regal, whole other issue. So let's see what this whole other issue is. So this is what others have, that Rav Gidol bar Manasseh paskins lahakel. He says the following: Kol lamit yom. This whole thing has to do with what to do about babies and little children who die. It says kol lamit yom. Any infant under a month old, tinok, a baby, yotze becheik. You don't put the baby in a coffin and carry the coffin to the cemetery. You leave the baby out, and you just wrap the baby up, I guess, and you carry the baby like that to the cemetery. V'nikbar. And you bury the baby. Be'ish achas v'shnei anashim. And when they go, obviously the woman will be, I don't know, carrying the baby, and you want to have a man doing the digging. So can you allow one man, one woman to be alone in the cemetery by themselves? Apparently nobody else was going to this. This wasn't really going to be a big funeral. It says here, no, you can't have one man, one woman. You can have two men and one woman. But you can't either have one man and two women going to the cemetery, because that's going to be a problem of yichud. That's a problem of yichud. And the point of this first opinion is that even in the cemetery, you have to worry about these yichud rules. Abishol Omer Afbi, this Amid Bezna, Chavdalit Amid Bezna, top line, Abishol argues and he says, Afbi Isha Fadishtein Hashem is also allowed. I can have two women and one man, everybody seems to agree, one man, one woman, not. That seems to be Yichud De'oraisa. The De'oraisa injunction against Yichud is one man, one woman. But the minute you have more people involved, then sometimes it's still Yichud. But like in this case,
cemetery, which is an open place.
It's an open place, but it's open and out of town, and nobody's expected to be there. If you really felt that people were going to be around, so then that's not Yichud anyway, right? Okay, so in any case, he says that the Yichud rules, it's a machlokas here, but how much of the Yichud rules would apply out there in the cemetery during the burial of a baby, of an infant. Anyway, it also says, V'ein omdim alav b'shura, v'ein omrim alav birchas aveil matan chumay aveilim, and you also don't have a number of the formal expressions of nichum aveilim. Now, you're going to have regular availus. That's what they point out. Tosis points out here, we're talking about a baby which you would do mourn over. There's a rule of availus for. So what are the rules of availus for a tinok? That's only if you know that the tinok is viable. If the baby is viable, you have availus. How do you know if a baby is ever viable? Usually the baby has to be full term. That's usually enough. Or if it's unclear, it's hard to know if it's fully a full-term baby, then you have to see if the baby lives a month. If the baby lives a month, so then good. But the case is he didn't live a month. So that's what Tosis was saying, that this only applies if you know that it was a full-term pregnancy. So then you'll have a velus for the kid when the kid is born, even less than a month. And then this is what's prescribed, this reduced nichum. You don't have birkas aveilim and tenchumi aveilim, fine. What if the kid is a month old? But he's little. So then it says, then Yotze b'deluskma, you make a little mini coffin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo deluskma, and he tells v'kasef, not a full-size coffin that requires, you know, carrying a coffin on your shoulders by the pallbearers. Elohani, tell us v'agapayim. One individual just carries the little mini coffin in their hands. V'omdim alav b'shur, Rabbi Yehuda alav b'rchas avilim v'tanchum avilim. But you'll do the full Nichum Aveilim for such a baby, for such a little kid. What if the kid is over a year? Ben Yud Beis Chodesh, Yotze B'mita, then it is a regular coffin. Rabbi Akiva Omer, well, that Rabbi Akiva says, not necessarily, just a year is not enough. Ben Shana V'Eivarav K'ben Shtayim, okay, or Hu Ben Shtayim V'Eivarav K'ben Shana, okay, if he's either physically or if he's actually like a two-year-old, or within the second year, over a year-old, then we're going to call that kid big enough for a full coffin. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says something, it's a little bit unclear, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this word for word, it doesn't make it any clearer. The point is that it says here, look, Ayotze b'mita rabbi matzhivim alav. When they bring a body to the cemetery in a coffin, the people are more worked up about that. Ein yotze b'mita, ein rabbi matzivim alav. You don't bring the person out in the coffin, people aren't as worked up about it. It's unclear whether this is a description. Is this descriptive or prescriptive? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, nikar l'rabim rabbi misaskim imo. Ein nikar l'rabim, ein rabbi misaskim imo. If the people know who the kid is, namely, the kid gets out, the kid mingles around in public, and actually, in some versions of Rashi, they even quote here, if the kid is in shul, then, so they know who this kid is. The kid is kind of known to others. So then Rabbi Misaskimimo. Ain't a Nikola Rabbi? Ain't Rabbi Misaskimimo. Same kind of a question. Is this prescriptive or descriptive? Umahein behespit? What about, do they have hespedim? Is there not a lot you can say when you have a little kid like that? Rabbi Meir, B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Aniyim. Well, for poor families, B'nei Shalosh, once the kid is three. Ashirim, if you have wealthier families, then B'nei Chamesh. It's a funny distinction. And to compound the funniness, Rashi quotes over here, well, you know, the poorer people are struck more by the death of a little kid because they have less going on in their lives to feel good about. So they're hurt, they're hit more by deaths of the children. In any case, And then it says here, others, Rabbi Yehuda has a different standard, a different cutoff. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi quote Rabbi Shmuel saying 3 or 5. Rabbi Yehuda quotes from Rabbi Shmuel saying, no, it's like this. 3 is still too little. But 5 for five for Aniyim and Ashirim at 6. 5 or 6. Well, incidentally, Bnei Zakeinim ki Bnei Aniyim, an older couple that has a kid who dies, is also they're also hit harder by it, and so then they have the same status as Aniyim. Anyway, that was all going on among the Tanoim, and now we get to the punchline, which is where Rav Gidol Amar Rav, which is why this is all brought in, Rav Gidol Bar Manasseh quotes Rav that halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Meshum Rabbi Yishmael, that the cutoff is that older age. Okay. Okay, new rule about how to... Or we said that when a regel comes along, like tomorrow is Sukkot, and we just had a Yom Kippur, and before that we just had a Rosh Hashanah. So what the status of all of these avelus during any one of these chagim, that the regel is mevatel shiva, or if shiva is over and you're in shloshim, it'll be mevatel shloshim, one or the other. So here's what it says. Dorash Rebbe Anoni Bar Sason, apisa de benesia. This person, Rabbi Anoni Bar Sason, issues the following statement. A pisca de Benesia, right at the doorway of the Nasi's house, that might have been significant to them. I don't know what the significance is. Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeres. If, let's say, they bury the body the day before Shavuos, Erev Shavuos, they bury the body. So there's Shiva for that couple of hours. V'Atzeres, and now along comes Shavuos, and it cancels it. So that's going to be end of Shiva. So it's going to be a few hours of Shiva. That part is given. But what do you do about Shloshim? So here's what it says. The first hour or so, and along comes Shavuos and cancels it, that lops off 7 days of Shloshim. V'yatzeres, and now Shavuos itself lops off another 7 days of Shloshim, because every regel, normally a regel is 7 days, but Shavuos, which is only 1 day, but it's treated like 7 days, and it lops off another 7 days. Harikan arba asar. That gives you 14 days. Which means that Shloshim will only continue after Shavuos for 2 weeks. Shama Rebbe Ami v'ikpid. Rebbe Ami heard him say this, and he got angry. Amar. And he said, what is he saying? This is as if he himself propounds this idea on his own. Atu didehi. This is not his own. De Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Yoshiahi. This comes right from, because it is a clear inference from what Rebbe Elazar said in the name of Rebbe Yoshia. Okay, so I guess he got angry that I didn't attribute it to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Oshia. We're going to see in a second what did Rabbi Elazar say in the name of Rabbi Oshia that leads to this ruling. But we have the similar story as follows. Dorash Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Akila de Reish Galusa. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha also. This might have been, I don't know, it's hard to know exactly. Was this like another version of events and names and places were swapped a little bit, or is it just a similar kind of a thing? In any case, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha also made the following announcement kind of on the, or taught this policy at the Reish Galusa. This is now in Bavel, where there's a Reish Galusa's home, that if they bury the body on Erev Shavuos, Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeres V'Atzeres V'Yikad Arba Asar, that laps off 2 weeks, towards the Shloshim, Shama Rav Sheshes, or Rav Sheshes in Bavel, now, Ikbid, he got angry. This is exactly the same story just happening in Bavel. Ikbid, he got angry, and it's the same reason. Amar Atu Didehi, the Rebbe Lazar Amar Boshiahi. And now we're going to hear what that's all about. The Amar Rebbe Lazar Amar Boshiah. Rebbe Lazar in the name of Rebbe Boshiah. Minayin li atzer sheish bat tashlum in kol shiva. Okay, the context of this is the rule is that for Shalosh Regalim, you have to go to Yerushalayim, to Beis HaMikdash, and bring some korbanos. You have to bring, every zachar has to bring an olas re'iyah, and I bring a shalmei chagiga. And when is that mandatory? On the chag, on the regel. It's not like you can get there a few days early and bring your korban early. You have to bring your korban on the regel itself. So that's easy to do on Pesach and Sukkot, where you have a whole week's worth of regel, and sometime during the week you have to make sure you bring your korbanos. What about on Shavuos, which is only one day? So it says here the following. You don't have to make sure that it gets done that one day, because minayli atzera sheish ba tashlum in kol shiva. You have the whole week from Shavuos and the following week is eligible for your korban chagiga and your korban olas riya. Shenemar chaga matzos v'chaga Shavuos, because the pasuk writes a hekish between these two holidays, chaga matzos and chaga Shavuos. In what way are we comparing Pesach to Shavuos? We're joining them to convey the following halacha: Chaga Matzos yesh tashlum kol shiva, just like Chaga Matzos, you have the whole week for the korban. And the wording here is tashlumin. If you didn't do it on the first day, which was the expectation, I guess you were busy recuperating from the Seder. So if you didn't bring it that first day, you have at least the rest of the week. Af Chaga Shavuos, if you don't bring the korban the first day, the korban is the first day, you have tashlumin the whole rest of the week. And because that's the case, we're seeing that Shavuos does have a status of a whole week. And you don't exactly see from here that it's all compressed into that one day, but in any case, you have the concept of Shavuos being a week-long holiday. All right. New thing. Adbir Rav Papa l'Rabbi v'yasabah v'darash Yom Echad. So Rav Papa now sets up Rav Ivya to make the following announcement. He says, Yom Echad Lufnei Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah. What if they do the burial in Erev Rosh Hashanah? This was already the question that they had in the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah it was a machlokas, whether Rosh Hashanah is treated like Shabbos and does not abort the Avelus, or it's treated like a regel and it does. Because Rosh Hashanah, we know, it's qualitatively different. It doesn't have the same description of Simcha. And so here's what it says. The Rav Papa now, a later Amora, after the Mishnah already had presented its machlokas at time, now we're talking about the P, the Amoraim, and they're going to paskin on this. So they're paskining before Rosh Hashanah, Harekan Arbasar, the same as Shavuos, even though Rosh Hashanah is one day long. But if you bury the mace on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that terminates the Avelus, I like that opinion. And it also takes a week off of Shiva, just like Shavuos. Amar Ravina, even though there's no concept of Teshlumin, that's funny, like there's no concept of Teshlumin, there's no Korban, there's no Teshlumin, but it still does the same kind of an effect. Takes off 2 weeks. Amar Ravina now, another Amora, says, Hilkach, we're going to have to say the following with respect to Sukkot. Look at how this goes. And this is relevant for today. Rabbi Rothberger is going to be doing this. Hilkach, Yom Echad Lefnei Achag. If there's somebody who passes away, and the burial is Erev Sukkot, that's today. So that terminates Shiva. So Rabbi Rothberger is going to have no Shiva, just a few hours. The Chag, and the 7 days of the regel, that's gonna wipe away another week's worth. Vishmini shelo, and Shmini Yatzeres. Now we're not gonna say Shmini Yatzeres terminates the shloshim. I know on the assumption of that once you've eliminated Shiva at the first day of Sukkot, then you're in shloshim for the remainder, and then Shmini Yatzeres would, but doesn't, terminate the whole Shloshim period, so that doesn't happen, but it does accrue another week's worth. So it says here, if there's a Kvura today, then there's no Shiva, because that's only for a few hours, and that laps off 1 week. Then the week of Shavuos, that's the second week, and Shmini Atzeres laps off the third week of Shavuos, of Shloshim, in which case, then you're going to have only a week of Shloshim after the Chag, after Sukkot is over. That's what Rabbi Rothberger is going to have. And that's what we say. Ravina Ikla Lesura de Paras. And then Harika Arbasar. A lot of the Sfarim have trouble with the Rosh Hashanah. Incidentally, the Rosh Hashanah rule that I just mentioned above, where it says that Rosh Hashanah laps off 1 week, and then Rosh Hashanah itself laps off another week. So how much more Shloshim time would you have as a result? 2 weeks? No, you don't. because 9 days later it's going to be Yom Kippur. That's going to cancel the rest of the Shoshim anyway. It was a meaningless claim to say that that the day of Rosh Hashanah takes a week off. What does that mean? You're going to lose all of the Shloshim before you get to the end of that calculated, the reduced Shloshim, because Yom Kippur cancels the Shloshim altogether. So that's what a lot of the Sfarim wonder about. Tosus has that problem. Others have that problem. About what's the significance of being told that Rosh Hashanah itself counts towards a week of the Shloshim, but there is no Shloshim because Yom Kippur is going to end it. All right. In any case, so let's get back to where we were up to. Ravina, okay, four lines up from the bottom. Ravina ikla lesura de paras. Ravina once came to a place called Sura on the Euphrates. Amarle Rav Chaviva mesura de paras. Rav Chaviva asked him a question. One of the people there asked him a question. Amar Mar, he asked him, do you say Yom Echad Lefnei Rosh Hashanah V'Rosh Hashanah Reikan Arbo Asar? So in other words, he asked him, is that what you hold? Omar Lei, Ana Mistavra Kreben Gamliel Hu Diamina. Yeah, because obviously, he said, I obviously paskin like Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel who holds both Shavuos after even Bizman Hazeh and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, all of them count as Regel to be Mevatel Avelus. So that's what he told him. He tells him, like it says in the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel says, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur count as regalim for these purposes.
Have a good
Yom. All right. Okay, everybody. Chag Sameach.
Have a good Yom.